So here we are, Porky, once for an on-the-record podcast. Yeah. This is episode 22, would you
22,
believe?
Yeah.
Well, so we're building up quite a library here.
Building up quite a library, that's right. And we'll have what's called a back... what do they call it?
Back catalogue,
yeah. That's right.
You know what somebody suggested on Twitter the other day?
What?
They said, surely you could turn these podcasts into a book.
Yes, a book, yeah.
I wonder if we should think about
doing
that.
What, you mean transcribe it into words?
Yeah.
Like an annual?
Well, not necessarily like, an annual, but just
Christmas annual.
Well, just use the stories and put it into book form. Yes,
well, that's not a bad idea, because at some stage we're going to have to put it down in writing, aren't we, for history, historical purposes.
I suppose so. Maybe we should commission somebody to transcribe it for
well,
us.
Well, maybe we should. Now, talking about writing and things in writing, now, it came to my attention today that there is an advert in a publication called Viz.
Viz, yes.
Which is advertising our Christmas show.
That's right.
Shepherd's Bush.
Yes, Shepherd's
now,
Empire.
I wasn't aware of this. I didn't know that we were, you know, big in the world of Viz. I mean, Viz is not something I'm terribly familiar with.
Viz is one of those great comics that some people absolutely swear by. I've never been a massive fan of Viz.
Originated in the Northeast,
I'm told. Yeah, with all sorts of interesting characters. Some of whom have been mentioned to me in passing. Mm. I'm not sure. There's one who people sometimes, rather unkindly in my view, compared to you, who's this guy who goes around lying about everything.
What?
He goes around lying about everything.
What's that going to do with
me?
And
he keeps getting caught out.
How could I possibly have got to where I have in life, you know, doing all that? Well, I tell you what, there's another one which reminds me of some people, but it's terribly ungentlemanly to mention it.
Yeah.
It's called The Fat Slags.
The Fat Slags is the other one that I remember as well,
I'm pretty sure...
And they're supposed to be two women from Newcastle.
From Newcastle. Yeah. Saturday night, down the big market, the Fat Slags are out there again.
You've got to be careful not to be too unkind.
Well, not being unkind, because they're mythical characters, so they don't actually exist in real life.
Fictionally.
I've been to Newcastle.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Oh,
yeah, fictional.
Yeah.
I've been to Newcastle on a Saturday night, and I think the girls there are lovely, so I'm taking no notice of that.
Well, you've never got over the Shark Bar. I still talk about
Shark Bar. A very pleasant place. But, however, Matt Lucas, who was one half of... was it
Little Britain? Yes,
along with David Walliams.
David Walliams. Yes.
I'm sure he told me once when I met him in the box at Arsenal.
Oh, yeah.
That influenced the character Vicky in
Vicky Pollard.
In Little Britain.
Yeah,
you know.
But no, but.
Sorry.
Yeah, but no, but absolutely. I'm sure
so,
it did. And the thing about the Viz, funnily enough, there was a tweet that we received today, only just a few hours ago, in which it said. So funny to see you advertising in the Viz. You're obviously going for a mature audience.
That's right.
But I thought to myself, well, hang on a second. You're somebody who's just read the advert in the magazine that you just bought.
That's right.
So are you saying that you're not mature?
Well, the secret of these magazines is that they are written by highly intellectual people because the humour is satirical, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I mean, when I read Private Eye sometimes, that's where I actually find out what the thinking pattern in politics is in this country. Because what they do is they so take the mickey out of the way politicians talk and try to put over their arguments.
Yes.
They write fantastic satirical pieces which illustrate that they're all talking cobblers.
Indeed. And there's an awful lot of hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy.
As well.
Nothing ever gets done. Everybody's blaming everybody else for things that don't happen.
Yeah.
Massive overspend in government departments. And that's the only place I learn what's going on.
No, exactly.
But anyway, talking about audiences for our shows, of course, we have got one coming up at Christmas.
We have. We should say when it is, shouldn't we? It's December the 17th.
Yeah, where
is it? Sunday evening, I should say, at the Shepherd's Bush Empire, which is an iconic venue.
It is.
Amongst other places. I believe it was used for the video shooting of Fairytale in New York.
Fairytale in New York,
with the Pogues, of
That's
course,
right.
and Kirsty MacColl.
Kirsty MacColl.
And we're hoping that our good friend Steve Lillywhite might be able to come along if he's in London,
indeed.
Which he might well be.
Yeah.
And what a tremendous place that will be to be able to play.
But the one we're going to was also the BBC Live Theatre, wasn't it?
It
because
was.
White City,
yes.
which was the huge BBC network studios
before
and all
they
that,
knocked it all down.
Before they knocked it all down. It was just around the corner, wasn't
it? It was just down the road,
Just
well,
off
I went
the...
to secondary school, funnily enough, just up the road.
Right, okay.
My school
what's
in,
the square called that it's on?
Well, it's Shepherd's Bush Green.
Shepherd's
Bush
Green, that's the one.
And it's on
the
sort of what you might call the west side of that.
That's right.
And it's a very sort of distinctive looking building.
Yes.
It's an old theatre.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And
it's
got three tiers, which is exciting because it's always nice to play theatres where they've got tiers.
I love the tiered theatres. Sometimes the flat floors get me a bit because they're usually in working men's clubs and people have a bar open at the back and they get terribly drunk.
Well, also,
and
we've
they start
played in a lot of venues.
Abuse at me during the
well,
show.
I mean, we've played in a lot of venues, also iconic venues, which are more music venues than perhaps, you know, theatre type venues. I mean, Dingwalls, what a fantastic
Camden
place
Lock.
To play
at
Camden Lock where Coldplay
That's
once
right.
did a gig
That's
where.
Right.
where I think you two have played there.
Yes, that's right.
I've certainly seen Martha and the Vandellas there.
Martha
the Ramones. The Ramones played
dancing
there.
Dancing in the streets.
In the streets.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, almost everyone who's anyone has played at Dingwalls, and it was a real rock and roll kind of atmosphere,
wasn't it?
In fact, so much so that some guy who had bought a ticket on the door, by the way,
that's right.
I think he was inebriated, didn't actually know who he were.
That's right.
At some point or other, became enraged and launched himself at me on the stage.
Yes.
And fortunately, our producer at the time was able to bat him away.
That's right, yeah.
And stop him from actually reaching me. But apparently he was in within about a foot of me.
It could have been a
nasty... didn't even notice.
No, well, I did, but I didn't want to stop him. I thought that'd be quite funny, you know, a good part of the show. But the theatre we're going to in Shepherd's Bush, that used to be the BBC Live Theatre, and the Wogan Show used to be done live from there with an audience.
Well, do you know, I'm sure that I went there to see Basil Brush.
Right, Basil Brush,
yeah, Basil Brush was filmed there as well.
Right, now I'll tell you who else filmed there, right? You say about famous people.
Yes.
The Everton team of the mid-80s were the best team in this country and possibly in Europe. They won the European Cup and this Cup, which was a question in the quiz last night on the Porky quiz. And I chose the subject
the
of
Mastermind
Everton
quiz.
Because it was our Mastermind. Mm. That's right. And I answered all the questions again and got most of them right.
You got, now, I think, 12 out of 14.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the Everton team did a record. They're one of the last teams. You know, the cup final team
Those
always
awful
do a record.
Records, yeah. And, like blue is the colour.
Yeah, that's right. Blue is the colour of the Chelsea one.
Right.
The Spurs one was, you know, Aussie, you know.
Yes, I don't remember that one quite as well.
Tottingham, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And one of the Arsenal ones. But the Everton one, I'm just trying to remember now, it was... it's not. It's
Which
a grand
era
old,
was this then?
This
was
85. Sort
of Andy Gray type era.
Well, it was 85 when we got to our second cup final because we've been there in 84 as well. And I'm sure. And it wasn't. And it's a grand old team to
That's
play
a Celtic
for.
Song.
Well, it's, everybody sings that now. And
Did
it's
they?
A grand old team to see.
Right.
But the one I'm trying to remember, Where's Your Magic Now? Could have been called, but it wasn't called that either.
That sounds a bit negative.
Yeah, I'm trying to. No, we're Magic. Everton. Right. Oh, that's right. Everton are Magic.
Oh, yeah.
Everton.
Well, are you
magic.
Saying they recorded it there?
They recorded it there, yeah, but it wasn't even that one. I'm trying to remember because I've got a copy of it at home in vinyl.
Uh-huh.
So I'll have to go home and root it out and play it because for some unknown reason my memory's gone.
Well,
but nevertheless,
there's
it's
a good
a
reason for why
very
that
famous
is. Because
theatre.
You've been overworking.
Now, I have to say, for as good as this theatre is that we're going to,
we
have played a couple of dives.
A couple of dives, yes. We played some remarkable. I mean, we started and we've talked about the journey that we've been on for the last couple of years.
Yes,
because it kicked off, I suppose, in 2015, didn't it?
Yeah.
Or was it the end of 2014?
2014.
Back end of 2014.
Well,
at the Hen and Chickens.
When you were on holiday in somewhere in...
I think I was in Mallorca in 2014.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was Mallorca.
The first time, not the time you came out.
And I sent you notes saying we've got a live show. And
yeah.
It's the Hen and Chickens, which is still our favourite venue. Still my favourite venue.
It's a great place.
Because that's where we started. Mm. It's a tiny little
Highbury Corner.
50 seats. Highbury Corner, above the pub, the Hen and Chickens. And in fact, we liked it so much we made our first video there. That was a best-selling video DVD.
We've had some great shows there, actually. We've done about half a dozen,
shows.
I think.
We've done about half a dozen.
Funnily enough, I wondered if we should just go back and do a show there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it's for Christmas, but just
out of
at
thanks,
some point.
Really. Yeah.
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 Just
I
to
think
sort
so.
Of revisit the place.
I think we should.
Get
I
a
think
few
we should.
People down and,
and
know,
think,
have a good time.
I think I might pop over there, you know, in the next couple of weeks and say, you know, can we do a Friday night and just invite people along and maybe donate the proceeds to charity or something like that.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
After expenses, obviously.
But what was nice about that place was that after expenses, yes, that's right, yeah. That's what Richard
that
Branson...
That was always the problem with the Hen and Chickens, that, you know, the bar bill was so high
that
actually we didn't really make much money anyway.
Well,
it wasn't really about the money.
I think the take on the door was about 175 quid, and then the bar bill always worked out at over 200, And we weren't drinking £200 worth of booze, we were just buying drinks for people who come along. But anyway, it was all very good fun. The other great thing about it was the air conditioning system was magnificent, wasn't it? Because you were able to smoke in that building... one occasion.
Only once I did that.
Yes, because there was a broken window in the dressing room.
There was. The
and
problem
it was...
was
like -5 outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was actually the night we were filming the DVD.
Yeah, it could have been.
And the problem was there was a lot of activity going on behind the scenes,
that's right.
shall we say.
Yeah.
And we were all mic'd up.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So it was going to be difficult to walk downstairs immediately before the people were allowed upstairs.
That's right, yes.
Because the problem with going downstairs was that you then wouldn't get back up for quite a while.
Quite right.
And so I just had a conversation with someone and I said, look, I'm just going to smoke out the window.
Yeah, that's
problem
right.
was, there was a hole in the window, but there were also bars,
that's
so
right.
you couldn't quite... sort of get your cigarette right out the window. So when I went to put it out, stupidly, instead of sticking it under the tap, first.
Yes.
I just sort of threw it out, hoping that it would make its way to the street.
That's right.
And it didn't.
Yeah.
And we went on and started doing the show. Mm. Meanwhile, it turned out that it was actually burning a hole in the wooden fascia of the sort of window ledge.
Yes, not...
Not the brightest thing I've ever done.
Not the brightest thing you've ever done.
But luckily, somebody spotted it and put it out.
Indeed, they did. Now...
Now, you said we played a few dives. Which places did you have in mind?
I'm not if they died. I mean, we went to Cardiff, didn't we?
We did.
Cardiff, hello, boyo.
Yeah.
And what was that called? The tram shed.
The tram shed in Cardiff.
And the thing about the tram shed is, it was a lovely venue, and there was a stage at the front, and it was a flat floor.
Well,
was
it was
it
a
not?
Bit of a barn, wasn't it? Really?
It was a bit of a barn.
Very high ceiling.
But yeah, it was a flat floor, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So,
it was.
But fortunately, it was a high stage, so everybody could look up at an angle and see us. But the problem was with that one is that the Welsh boys like a drink or two, you know.
Well, it's been said that we don't mind the odd libation.
Right. But the bar was open right the way through the show.
Yes.
So it was noticeable that, and the show of ours normally lasts about an hour and a half with a break in the middle.
Yeah.
And it was noticeable that the boys locally were getting well oiled.
Yeah, getting more and more rowdy.
Well, abusive, really, you know. Hey,
well, we also had a problem with the sound there as well, if you remember.
Porky, why don't you go on yourself, you know?
Well, do you remember we also had a problem because of the way that the place was structured?
Yeah.
And it was very much a music venue as well.
Yes.
And unfortunately, sometimes when we work, and we learn, I mean, this has been a massive learning curve, I think, for both of us in terms of the technology of working on the stage and all of that. But what we didn't know always was precisely how the sound was going to be.
That's right.
And when you sit on the stage, you sometimes do a proper sound check and you sometimes don't. And then when people come into the venue, the acoustics change completely.
They do.
And if you remember, you couldn't hear what I was saying.
No, I couldn't.
In the first half of the show. You also weren't very well. Which didn't help.
No, actually, I kind of fainted on the train on the way down.
Did you?
You
were in a bad way. I've never seen you quite as bad.
I hadn't been for a Virgin Airways stewardess who was coming back from Gatwick Airport, you know, and had gone on at Basingstoke or somewhere. I'd have been in trouble because I don't know why. I was terribly ill on the train and she helped me off.
Well, you had flu, I think, didn't you?
I don't know what I had, but...
Because I remember before we went down to the venue, we were sitting in the bar and you wanted a brandy because you hadn't
large
actually
brandy.
Had anything to drink.
No, or eat.
Which is always unusual for you.
Yes, it is. So
for the first half of the show, it was quite difficult for us to hear what the other was saying.
Yeah, that's right.
Which was kind of weird. But we fixed that for the second half of the show.
Yes, we did.
So all in all, it was all right.
Yes.
But you end up wandering off in the wrong direction afterwards, didn't you? Because you got sent in the
wrong direction. Well, I couldn't stay around because I didn't want anything to drink. Yeah. And I went off and some idiot said, your hotel, we're staying at the Holiday Inn, is that way. And I went off the wrong side down the River Taff.
Right.
And then got completely lost.
Did you end up at the Millennium Stadium?
Ended up at the Millennium Stadium, yeah. It's not a bad place to end up because it's quite a landmark within Cardiff, Boyle.
Yes. Great town, Cardiff.
It's a great town. I've been to I think I went to all six cup finals there between 2000 and 2006 when Wembley was closed down and a lot of internationals. And yeah, it is a great town. And
terrible
got to
place to get
well.
Out of after one of those, though.
Terrible
unless
place
you're on
to
the train.
Went now, to. Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry, I was going to say, I mean, talking of strange situations after the show, Newcastle has to be down as one of those. We played Whitney Bay later, but first of all, we played Newcastle and it was the Tyne Opera Theatre and Opera House.
Theatre and Opera House.
And you managed to get yourself locked in. Sort of corridor, didn't you?
Well, it was
under the theatre.
It was pretty frightening, man. Because what happened was, first of all, we checked in at the Sandman Hotel, didn't we? Where the Shark Bar is,
which is a fantastic hotel, by the way. Great rooms,
fantastic
terrific
rooms.
View of St James Park.
That's right, yeah.
And I felt quite sort of rock starish.
Yeah, that's right. And then down in the Shark Bar, we met some very attractive people,
indeed,
female people. I'm talking about. We were very, very nice.
Some attractive male people as well.
Well, may have been, but I'm really have more interest in female people myself.
Is that right?
Yes, well, you do as well, I think. Yeah.
Well, I think that's probably fair to say.
Yeah.
I managed to stay up a little bit later than you, though. Why's your phone lighting up?
Yes. Well, I don't
Somebody
know.
Somebody trying
you
know, to call you.
All people always try to call me, you know what I mean? But anyway. So, anyway, so what I was going to say was that we entered the theatre, and then, of course, because I like to give the audience a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
I went down into the bowels of the theatre and found out that it was a very, very old-fashioned theatre which had a ramp which could be lifted up onto the stage, OK?
Oh, like a trap door.
Yeah, like a trap door, that's right, yeah. Well, no, it had a ramp which you could actually lift up, but I said, no, that's too big, and they said they'd need three more men to winch it up, you see, because it's such an old theatre. See, one of the oldest theatres in Britain.
It's a lovely, I mean, I'm talking of tiered theatres.
Yeah.
It was a lovely theatre. Really,
and
useful.
And Victorian theatre as well. So yes. Anyway. So what happened was, I said, well, look, never mind the ramp. Have you got an entrance way up a ladder? They said, oh, yeah, I've got a trap door.
Right.
So you did the old thing about coming on stage, you know, where is he? And then all of a sudden I flung the trap door open and I burst onto the stage, and I had some unusual headgear on, didn't I?
I don't remember if you had unusual headgear.
I think you had
some kind of a weird hat on, didn't you?
Weird hat, was it?
Yeah.
It wasn't my Peaky Blinders hat, I don't think.
It wasn't your Peaky Blinders hat. No, I can't imagine what it would have been.
Yeah, but I did have some weird headgear. Oh, I know.
Oh,
Phantom of the Opera.
When you're pretending to be Michael Crawford.
That's right, Phantom of the Opera. Yeah,
and they were playing, and as you entered the theatre, you were sort of going...
Got a huge round of applause, everyone laughed like mad.
But I wasn't thinking of that. I was thinking of when you were... I was thinking more of when you decided to leave. And we had been, as we tend to do... signing sort of autographs and doing pictures of people and stuff.
Well, this is what I was going to tell you.
You're taking a hell of a long time to get around to it.
So because I'd been in the bowels of the theatre, I knew that these underground passages.
Yeah.
So I thought, right, I'm going to make a quick getaway, you know, because as you quite rightly say, you sign a lot of stuff and all that, but sometimes people follow you out the theatre. Mm. And at the time you were still smoking,
yes.
So they're following you out when you're having a cigarette.
That's right,
and I thought, well, I'll get away the other way. So I went down this passageway and I saw a fire door. I thought, well, that's easy.
Yeah.
You open the fire door and you're out. So I passed the fire door, and I wasn't out. I was in the inner out,
right.
i.e. a corridor between the fire door and a second exit door.
But how did you end up going in that direction anyway? Because surely, I mean, where we were standing, there was a bar, right?
Yes.
And the bar basically led to...
Oh, it was right next to the auditorium, wasn't it?
It was. Yes. And also the bar then led to another room.
Yes, that's
which
right.
Which had a door that went right outside.
Yeah.
So why don't you just go out that way?
Because I was going to be followed out. That was the point.
Oh, I see.
So I just went on the other side.
Right.
So then I thought, well, that's good. But I got to the second door, tried to depress, you know, the sort of handle they have on a fire door so people can get out easily, to find it was locked and barred.
Right.
So I thought, oh, that's all right, I'll have to go back in the theatre. Of course, I couldn't get back in through the first fire door.
It was a push bar only from the other side.
But luckily, there was a small pane of frosted glass in the outer door, so I started banging on the door and shouting, help, help.
Well, didn't you in the end call somebody?
I had to call.
Because we were standing for a while... in the bar, still talking to people and sort of basking in the glow of the aftermath.
Yes, that's
right.
Yeah,
and somebody said, "Where's Porky?"
Yeah.
And I said, well, I assume he's gone back to the hotel.
Yes.
And then I think it was my daughter, Emma.
That's right.
Who said, oh, he's just called me.
Yeah.
He's stuck underneath the stage.
That's right, yeah.
So, of course, we all fell about laughing.
Yeah, I didn't find it very funny.
But you'd been there for about 45 minutes at this point.
No, I hadn't. I'd been about 25 minutes. Yeah. I'd seen myself being there all night.
Yeah.
And I was banging on the door and I couldn't understand why not the people in Newcastle hadn't come to rescue me, you know?
Well, it's lucky that we were still there.
It was, yeah.
Imagine if we hadn't been.
Well.
Or somebody had switched the phone off.
By the way, I'd tried phoning a few times, but of course, being under the stage, the signal wouldn't get through.
I know.
So it was a terrifying situation.
Shocking.
But, you know, I faced it with valour and courage, as I always do.
Indeed. Now, I think some of the other venues that we played have been quite iconic as well. The Birmingham Rep,
which
was the first time we played outside of
the London, and the first time we played in front of
a larger crowd,
a proper tiered theatre.
Well, we did two there, didn't we? The first one, I remember going to see them to sort of check out the... you'd already been to see them to sort of organise
it. I had,
And I went up to have a look at the kind of logistics of
what
we need to do and all
that.
And I remember standing on the stage and seeing this great bank of seats and thinking, blimey, I don't think we can do this. I don't think we can sell these tickets.
What are we doing here?
I don't think we can perform to a crowd. But what's interesting as well, and I don't know how interested other people are in the ramblings of the two mics on these subjects, but one of the things that people often ask us is, don't you get nervous? And what we always say is, you can't really see beyond the front row.
No, you can't.
I mean, when we go to the Shelbourne Empire, that's going to be the biggest show we've ever done.
Yes,
there's going to be four tiers of people.
Yeah, it could be up to 1,600 people.
Could be, I think it's 1,100. I'm not sure it's 1,600.
Still very big.
I think you get more in if they're standing.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But we've never yet done a standing gig because we are not the Pogues, after all.
That's right,
or the Clash.
That's right,
But you really only see the front row.
Yes.
And sometimes you don't even see them because you've got lights shining on you.
Yeah.
I mean, when we were in New York, for example, that was the first place we did a kind of a tables and chairs scenario.
Like the Sinatra layout.
Yes, like a little Sinatra-type nightclub.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was vaguely aware of a face that was right by the stage.
Yeah.
Because they were literally right in front of you.
Yes.
Without any space at all.
They served dinner during our show, by the way.
They were serving food,
yeah.
Yeah,
that's
drink.
Right, yeah.
And because they said at one point, because we said, well, we're live streaming it and we're recording it for a podcast, which we'll put out later.
Yes.
And in fact, I've just been given some rather good news that we are about to be able to offer a download of the show
Brilliant.
From our website. By the time you hear this podcast, it should be available.
Yes, it will be, yes.
So that'll be in the next couple of days, basically.
Pretty good news. Yes, absolutely. Have to say, yeah.
But you know, it's a fascinating thing that when you're on the stage, you're kind of not really aware of the numbers of people.
You're not.
And you don't always hear them applauding or laughing or anything because, of course, the acoustics are different everywhere you go.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But the on the nervousness thing, it's just like being behind a microphone, really. If you're doing a new show or something, you have an anticipation. If you didn't, you shouldn't be doing the job.
No.
And it's the same when you walk on a stage. But the minute you get into the flow of the banter, I would call it, it all goes away.
Yeah. Although, you see, when I first started working radio, I don't know what you were like, but when you're sitting in a room with one, say, producer on the other side of the glass, which is what I did in Scotland, you don't get the sense of you're talking to a number of people. You kind of get the sense that you're talking to one person. And I still feel like that in a way.
Really?
And I only got really
nervous.
Well,
I have a much broader mind, you see, a much broader expanse. Well, I think of the millions who are listening all the time. You know what I mean?
Well,
you were millions
explaining...
tune in, you see.
No, I know that.
They know I'm there.
Yeah, I know that. But I know that. And that's why you're so clever at making the words come in one ear and out the other.
Well, that's right.
Without getting confused.
Well, I said to you today, and you didn't take it the right way. I said, look, I've got two ears and I can take information in both of them, right? But I meant separate information.
Is that what you meant?
If somebody's on my right talking to me, I can
may
store
have to do
that.
An experiment.
I can store that in my right eardrum, and if somebody's on the left and talking to me, I can store that. I can
because I can certainly, I can certainly
eardrum,
attest
right?
to when we first started working together in 2010.
Yes,
when you were sort of in charge of the show.
Yes,
whenever the producer
I would
talked
say
to
I still
you,
am, by the way.
Yeah, I know
anyway,
you still
yeah,
am.
Go on, yes.
Whenever the producer spoke to you in your ear, you would stop talking.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But that's a skill that you can learn not to do.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, no, that was deliberate because I wanted to make sure that whatever he was telling me, I was taking in and not
glossing over. You're not supposed to stop talking in mid-flow.
No, I can do it any way I want, you know, because I'm smarter than the average bear. That's all I want to tell
you. Somebody tweeted me about that just earlier on to say that the average bear apparently has the intelligence of a three-year-old. Which would make you maybe more intelligent than a three-year-old.
No. That's an average three-year-old bear, but I'm not a three-year-old bear.
No, it's an average bear.
No, I wouldn't take a note of that. You've got to remember, that just like a dog's year of life is 7 years, a bear's year of intelligence is seven times that. So that's a 21-year-old intelligence.
How long does a bear live?
Bears live to the age of 55 sometimes.
You're making that up?
No. The black bear, the grizzly bear... And the polar bear can all live up to 55 years of age.
Really?
I know that for a fact, yeah. I've studied this,
Have you? Okay, well, we may have to revisit that and find out.
Yeah.
But listen, we've been talking so much about ourselves that we've come to the end of another podcast.
Have we come to the end? Yeah. Are you sure? I don't think we're at the end yet.
Yeah,
we are. Near the end, are we?
We absolutely are.
Really? Well, anyway, finally, we want to tell people about our show at Christmas, so you better repeat the details.
Yes, well, the tickets are still on sale. We have sold an awful lot of them, though.
We have.
So if you want to get some, you better book it now because it's December the 17th.
Yes.
It's at the Shepherd's Bush Empire. Yeah. You can find tickets via Ticketmaster.
Right.
Follow us on Twitter, where the links are. Also, go to our Facebook page as well.
That's right.
You can find tickets and links there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a great party. It's going to be a Christmas party.
It is.
It's going to be like no other show we've ever done.
That's right. And our promoter is Sean.
He is indeed.
Who's
Sean,
a very decent chap.
A man from the O2 organisation.
And who promoted us in
Liverpool. And bizarrely, the same night, he did promote us in Liverpool, bizarrely, the same night.
Yeah.
After our show finishes, at the O2 Arena, which is in, of course, East London.
That's right.
They're going to be putting on Hey Bellew 2.
That's right.
So a lot of people are already asking, where are we going to go to watch that?
Yeah, well...
I can't answer that.
There'll be plenty of places around. Mm. And I have to say, by the way, I think that's going to be a fiasco.
I think
completely finished now. I think Tony Bellew will just... splatter him all over the canvas.
Yeah.
It's just the last payday, I think, for David Hay.
I think it is.
Tony Bellew, of course, is an Evertonian.
Yeah.
So I will be on his side and we'll pay tribute to him during our show, probably.
Do you think?
For the victory that will lie ahead that night.
Well, we'll see. Yes. You don't want to porky jinx him, do you?
Well, I don't want to do that, no.
No. Right. This is episode 22. We are the Two Mics.
That's right. We are the Two Mics. And it was noticeable that the boys locally were getting well-oiled.
Yeah, getting more and more rowdy.
Well, abusive, really, you know. Hey,
well, we also had a problem with the sound there as well, if you remember.
Porky, why don't you go on yourself, you know.
Well, do you remember... But that's a skill that you can learn not to do.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, no, that was deliberate because I wanted to make sure that whatever he was telling me, I was taking in and not
glossing over.
You're
not supposed to stop talking in mid-flow.
No, I can do it any way I want, you know, because I'm smarter than the average bear. That's all I want to tell
you. Somebody tweeted me about that just earlier on to say that the average bear apparently has the intelligence of a three-year-old. Which would make you maybe more intelligent than a three-year-old.
No. That's an average three-year-old bear, yeah, but I'm not a three-year-old bear.
No, it's an average bear.
No, I wouldn't take an oath to that. You've got to remember, that just like a dog's year of life is 7 years, a bear's year of intelligence is seven times that. So that's a 21-year-old intelligence.
How long does a bear live?
Bears live to the age of 55 sometimes.
You're making that up?
No. The black bear, the grizzly bear... and the polar bear can all live up to 55 years of age.
Really?
I know that for a fact, yeah. I've studied this, yes.
Have you? Yeah. And I felt quite sort of rock star-ish.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And then down in the shark bar, we met some very attractive people.
Indeed.
Female people, I'm talking about. They were very, very
some
nice.
Some attractive male people as well.
Well, may have been, but I'm really have more interest in female people myself.
Is that right?
Yes, well, you do as well, I think, yeah.
Well, I think that's probably fair to say.
Yeah. Saturday night, down the big market, the fat slags are out there again, and